Then he goes and hands me a life, Coop interrupted, so deep in his own thoughts he hadn't heard mine. That's exactly what he's doing by taking the ACT for me. I don't know. I see him gaining that weight, and it's like I see Dad in that chair telling me I'll be just like him. I want to punch Simon out for giving up on his body. But then I remember what he's doing for me, you know? I knew. Glass was my funhouse mirror. December 28th dawned, gray and grim. The doorbell pulled me away from a rerun of Mr. Deeds Goes to Town. I loved movies where you knew the good guys really were good, and in the end, the bad guys would get it in the gizzard. I opened the door to see Rob, decked out in a new polo jacket. Didn't think you'd be back this soon. Great jacket. Did you rob a bank? FFO with my grandparents. This was a consolation prize. Can I come in, or do you want to wait until it starts raining? FFO was short for Forced Family Outing. An entry from the Book of Bob. I shut the door and followed Rob into the den. What are you watching? He nodded toward the TV as he unzipped his jacket and sprawled on the couch. I punched the remote control. Old stuff. You'd hate it. Not a high enough body count for you. How was your Christmas? Did you make a haul? He asked. Not like you, obviously. Cranky and Crabby gave me the usual savings bond and combination fruitcake slash Christmas tree stand. Cranky and Crabby? My grandparents? Paternal. Sire and dam of Daddy Dearest. So, T. Stewart III inherited his pleasant disposition. To think I'm the only heir to that fabulous gene pool. Forget it. We won't all grow up to be our fathers. I let the conversation sag, not trusting myself. Rob appeared preoccupied and didn't seem to notice my silence. He straightened the coffee table, aligning the magazine edges with mathematical precision. When's Rana coming back? Tomorrow afternoon. Do you have a date, New Year's Eve? Nothing definite. Why? Because you're going out with Debbie Mahan. I didn't say anything. Stunned didn't begin to cover how I felt. I'm what? Rob had the decency to look uncomfortable. You heard. I played dumb. I don't get it, Rob. He leaned forward. Discomfort slid into a kind of regret. You're not going to like this, and neither do I. But it's necessary. He paused, obviously searching for words. Simon has to have a date for the favorites dance. People have to know that he has the date before the voting. I see the point in that, but I don't know what it has to do with me. Young, if you weren't afflicted with a terminal case of cranial rectitis, you'd see what the rest of B-Vale sees. Glass goes soft-eyed and gooey-voiced every time Rana's name is mentioned. He was wrong and right. Right about Simon having a thing for Rana. Wrong that I didn't see it. I sat for a minute staring at my feet, trying to find a way to salvage Rana and myself without sacrificing Rob. We can get Glass elected class favorite without Rana. I glanced up at him. Can't we? Rob shook his head. You said that you saw the point. Simon has to be more than the class clown. Set him up with Blair. She'll do it if you ask her. Rana's perfect. Blair is a little out of his league. Glass might date the princess, but he'll never date the queen. Besides, he won't ask anybody but Rana. I kept my eyes on my feet. Rob, I began. He leaned forward again, earnest and seeking. Come on, Young. Do this for me. You're the first friend I made when I came here, and I've always counted on you. It's not like it's permanent for you and Rana, just until the dance. Afterward, Rana's yours for as long as you like. And what about Simon? Rob relaxed back into the couch. Once he's elected class favorite, the game's over. I win. I wanted to say no. Rob waited until I looked up at him, then he leaned forward again, his elbows on his knees. You've got to help me here. You're my best friend. I know you don't understand why this is so important to me. Just believe me when I say it's a way for me to put things right. In my head, kind of. You can't let me down. Trust me, and you can't let me down were the magic words. I swallowed and cleared my throat. Wanted to evaporate. Okay, I said. I'll do it. He put his hand on my knee and squeezed. Thanks. But why so soon? It's only December. End of December. It's only 6 weeks until the dance. You have to cool it with Rana to give Simon a clear path. He's not going to ask Rana to the favorites dance if you're still in the picture. And it's barely enough time for Rana to get the picture that it's over for you two, and she may as well go out with Simon. She won't go. Yes, she will. She'll be nominated for junior class favorite. She'll have to go. I'll make sure no one else asks her. I leaned back and rubbed my face, as if washing it. All right, all right. But I'm telling Rana what's going on. I don't want to... I paused, groping. Hurt her. She'll understand, maybe. Rob pulled his hands from behind his head and rested them on his knees as he sat forward. No. You won't, Young. You won't. His words were measured and mechanical, but his tone almost pitying. Why not? Because we can't take the chance. If she gets pissed because you're passing her off to Glass, it's all over. She's got to believe you've dumped her. And we can't risk that she'll tell Simon that it's a setup. Simon has to believe it, too. What had I agreed to? And why? What made me do what Rob wanted? Deep in my gut, I knew it was wrong. But I didn't have to betray Rob, and I could still get Rana back. Maybe I could have it all if I just did what Rob told me to do. Rob went on. This is how it's going to work. Debbie Mayne has got a rep for... He chuckled. Being eager to please. You'll go out with her tonight. Then Rana will get the news tomorrow. How? Blair will call. Leave a message on her machine. She's got one, right? I thought of the perky voice. Hi, this is Rana. Tell me something I don't know. But wait for the... And the beep would sound. Yeah, she has one. Then she'll call you and ask if it's true. You'll give her the impression that Debbie's offering something that Rana isn't. He leaned back and put his hands behind his head. She hasn't, has she? I mean, you two haven't done the deed, right? I flashed onto a picture of my finger tracing that sleek little back. I wouldn't share this with Rob. I didn't owe him that. No. I struggled with the word. No, we haven't. Great. No problem. Anyway, she'll think you're a king-sized shit, but Ron's a smart girl. When you come around later, wagging your tail, she'll take you back. With your classy background, she'll know which side her caviar is buttered on. Ron's not like that. Everybody's like that. Chapter 21. Break up. We didn't break up. He gave me away. Ronna Perry. I called Debbie Mahon. I took her out for pizza, knowing we'd be seen by plenty of our friends. I planned to go to a movie, but Debbie suggested we rent a video and go to her house. Her parents were out. We did some heavy breathing on the den couch, and Debbie tendered the offer she was famous for. Making feeble excuses, I turned her down. I could be a shit, but not a slut. Besides, I knew that Debbie would tell all her friends that we had made it. Debbie prized prowess over reputation. I left, depressed and guilt-ridden. Ronna would hear as soon as she stepped through her front door. Ronna didn't call. She faced me down in person. Young, Ronna's here. My mother appeared at my door. She was holding a book, one finger saving her place. Okay, Mom, I'll be right down. She seems upset, Young. Is something amiss with you two? Amiss. My mom actually talks like that. Sort of. We need to talk alone. The sun is peeking through for the first time in days. Why don't you sit in the garden? I trudged downstairs and my heart did a crazy tap dance when I saw her. Ronna stood with one foot planted and the other raised on the toes, pivoting the right heel, then left. She looked tense and pale. She raised her eyes. I don't know why I'm here, exactly. I do, I said, trying to keep my voice steady. Let's go out back and talk. She nodded and stepped past me through the living room and out the French doors. The Victorian knot garden, my mother's obsession, had a small fountain with cherubs spurting water from puckered lips. Ronna assessed the manicured shrubs. This is beautiful. I shrugged and avoided her eyes by feigning interest in the surroundings. I nodded at the fountain. I don't know why anyone thinks fat babies spitting water is considered cool, but my mother says it's enchanting. Ronna sat down, perched on the edge of a wrought iron love seat. I'm sort of out of my element here. But you don't play much croquet on this lawn. I laughed. It sounded hollow. No driving wickets in this lawn. Getting bare patches would send my mother into cardiac arrest. Ronna put the tip of her tongue up against her top lip and lowered her head. She looked up through her lashes at me. I guess I know how she would feel. To have something... She paused. Something so lovely, spoiled. I turned away, feeling like I had eaten rocks. So it's true, Ronna whispered. Inhaling audibly, she spoke again. Stronger. You went out with Debbie Mahon. I didn't answer. Squinting in the dappled sunlight, she gazed out, searching the shrubbery for new words. I hear that the date was quite, successful. Turning to look at her, I tried to assume a cold, disconnected air. But when I caught sight of that innocent, exposed nape, tears started in my eyes and my throat closed. I said, well, you never know who to believe, do you? I've always believed you. Not a hint of a whine or a whimper. Maybe that was a mistake, I said. Christ, I hated myself. I can't figure it, Young. We had that. Sex, I mean. And I thought it was special. Just us, you know? Why would you want someone else? And of all the someone else's, why Debbie Mahon? It seems beneath you. There's not much that's beneath me, Ronna. Tears welled up in Rana's eyes, but she looked through them, straight into my black heart. There's a missing piece here. What is it, young? A tear escaped Rana's left eye and rolled down her cheek. I sighed and sat on the bench next to her. I knew I couldn't do this. And I knew you wouldn't go for the story, but I couldn't tell Rob why you wouldn't believe it. You're right. It was special, and it was just us. Rob? What's Rob got to do with this? Taking Ron's hand, I pressed it against my cheek. Your hand is so cold. I chafed her hand between my own, trying to restore the warmth. You've got to promise you won't tell anyone about this, especially not Rob. I paused. Or Simon. Simon Glass? Let me explain. You know Rob thinks that for Simon to be elected favorite that he's got to have the perfect date. Well, Simon has this big crush on you, and having a date with a popular girl will clinch it for him. So, I heard the sharp intake of Rana's breath. I looked up at her. She looked as if she had been slapped. Ron? So, Rob wants you to hand me over to Simon. You won't loan your books, young. No, I mean, it's not like that, Ron. What is it, then? I could hardly hear her. Look, Rob needs this. I can't explain why. That's something I can't talk about, but I have to do this for him, Ron. Can't you understand? If, Rana said, slow and quiet, if I asked you to pick between this game you and Rob are playing and, her voice shook, and me, would you do it? I hesitated a heartbeat too long. You don't have to answer, Rana said, pulling her icy hand from mine. She stood. Don't worry, young. I'll be a good sport. I won't tell anyone. The whole school will just think you're a horny shit, and Simon will have his perfect date. Simon's the one person in school who won't be using me. She turned toward the side gate. That's kind of comforting. I reached across her and put my hand over the gate handle. Ron, don't. Okay, let's drop the whole thing. I'll tell Rob to forget it. It's not worth it. It's not that easy, young. Some things can't be undone. Whether I go to the dance or not is unimportant now. The fact is that you were willing to hurt me. Use me and my feelings to please Rob. You traded my trust for his. You know what, young? You're not worth it. She sighed. And you need to ask yourself why Rob wanted me. Why me? I don't think it has much to do with Simon at all. Our eyes locked in mutual misery, but beneath Rana's hurt there was something unyielding. And right then I knew something about Rana that I hadn't managed to see before. When she turned her back on something, it stayed turned. It was over. When I had agreed to Rob's plan, I'd done it with only my hurt and Rob's in mind. I hadn't thought about Rana's at all. I wanted to hit rewind, make this all go away, backtrack, and make myself a better person. The only way to do that now was to let her leave with dignity. I released the gate handle and stepped aside. I love you, Ron, but you deserve better than me. I'm sorry. I know, she said gently, with a tenderness that ripped me apart. Me too. She pulled the gate shut behind her. The latch clicked securely into place. Chapter 22. I always hated that whole bunch of boys, the glass kid included. A batch of spoiled little shits. Like I didn't know the one named Bobster called me the goulash ghoul. If it wouldn't have gotten me fired, he'd have had a laxative chaser in his stew. Every one of them should have had a few ass kickings when they were little, and nothing like this would have happened. Martha McDaniel, Brazos Vale cafeteria worker. My New Year's Eve date with Debbie clinched the deal. A bunch of us went to the jetties to shoot fireworks. Simon appeared alone. Coop, Bobster, and assorted others asked about Rana. I told them we broke up and nothing else. Who knew?